All right, y'all, welcome, welcome one and all to Discovery Paranormal. And you know what we're going to talk about tonight? Cryptids, man, cryptids. A lot of people tell me a lot of stuff. Man, I was in the woods. I saw this thing, it was as tall as a man, stared right at me. It did, made me poop in my pants, and I ran to my truck, got the hell out of there. Goddamn monsters in the woods. So, is it real? Is it not real? Have you ever seen people's hunting cameras and things like that when they catch crazy images? And yeah, a lot of them are fake, a lot of them are BS, a lot of them are Photoshop, but then some of them aren't. And that's the part that I like. The ones that you have to look at the photo to really understand what's going on there, you know, but good, fun. You could have all that. I like evidence. I like evidence, you know. I don't want to hear people's stories. Stories are great for starters, but I want to see the evidence. You tell me there's a Sasquatch out there, I want to see it. Him, them, her, whatever they gender specify, I want them on the laying on a table in front of me so I can examine it and take it apart. As a scientist would, even though I'm not a scientist, but I'm kind of a basement scientist, as it were, you know? I have my experiments going on. So it comes down to this. You can have your belief. That's great. I like the stories, and I like the history of the stories, the beliefs from once upon a time, and then the personal accounts today, what's going on, you know? Also, the honesty behind it, like pterodactyls. You know, I did a show recently about pterodactyls. There are pterodactyl sightings in the Carolinas, in Utah, you know, here in the United States. So I wonder, okay, you know, or could these things possibly survive? Do you know there's a lot of woods out there? There's a lot of land in the U.S. There's territory that people don't live. People don't even venture in there. Because they're too hard to get to, you know, yeah, once in a while, people will do the walkthrough or whatever, but these places are middle of the nowhere, you know, type of places. And Canada, other places like that, but man, you want to start getting into middle of the nowhere. You can talk about China and Russia all day long, that there's unexplored territory in Russia, unexplored swamps in Russia. So if you can't say it doesn't exist until you know it doesn't exist. And for the people that, you know, science, this is the funny thing about cryptozoology. There are scientists on one side that consider themselves mainstream scientists, and they don't want to believe anything paranormal. You say the P word to them, and they giggle like a schoolgirl, you know, and that is really concerning. If you want to go forward in your research, man, you can't really start dismissing things without knowing what you're dismissing and looking into it at least. So you go by the personal accounts. Person was driving their car, they see a pterodactyl flying up in the sky. Well, yeah, they don't know what the hell they're looking at. There's not a bird, you know. Is it someone's drone? Yeah, lots of drones around. There's drones that look like ghosts. There's all kinds of stuff. These people observed a living creature, heard it, looked at it, saw it, described it. So, yeah, there can be communities, little small communities of pterodactyls. Sure, you know, there can be small communities. I don't know about the Bigfoot. That kind of gets me, you know, because you really, you know, for something like that, if they're at all like humans, their reproductive rate, you know, you can't just have a couple of them hanging around. You would have to have a community, right? It takes a Bigfoot village. For the people saying that they zap in and out of time and whatever, you can hang that on the railing outside and let it dry, man, because, you know, that's really stretching it to say Bigfoot's a time traveler. You know what I mean? I mean, like, I try not to mock people, but I know some people are really screwed up. And people, the flat earth people, you know, you can't convince them that the earth is round, you know, or at least oblong. You can't convince them of it. They they don't believe in whatever. You can see pictures of it. You can see pictures of planets out there. Everything's round, 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 round. But they don't believe it, right? So there's always going to be people like that. There's always going to be people that, for whatever reason, whatever the problem is going on inside of them, is kind of not letting any information in. You know what I mean? So that's fine. Don't waste your time. Don't waste your time. I know people argue with these people all the time. And don't waste your time with people like that because they don't get it and they're not going to get it. And if they did get it, it doesn't matter to begin with because who cares? You know, who cares? Are they making rules for the world? No. There are people hiding in their basements thinking the earth is flat. That's fine. But on this show, we're talking about animals, humanoid maybe, but animals that may or may not exist, or creatures, monsters, even dragons, because these are the tales that are told by people. So, you know, whoever like read the scientific trades when it comes to, you know, any kind of zoology, any kind of animal species, right? And they, you know, you always see this one every once in a while that they're in a cave in Chile and they found a species of whatever that they knew was extinct. It had to have been extinct, but yet there it is, thriving, doing okay, away from people, thriving, doing okay. So you do have the opportunity of that type of situation, right? And then they're always finding bones to this and skin to that and whatever. Do you think that they're that far along? I don't think so. So anyway, when you talk about the water, you know, I live near some Finger Lakes, by the Great Lakes, you know, and of course, Seneca Lake was known for, they had their own version of Loch Ness Monster, and so does Lake Champlain up by New York, Vermont border, you know, they have that too. So you do have these creatures, you know, keep in mind, like Seneca Lake, Cayuga Lake, they're just, they're about 30 miles long, 35, 36 miles long. But they're deep. They go 600 feet deep, maybe deeper in some places. Right? These are glacier lakes. These are formed by the glaciers. The glaciers started receding. They're 12, 13,000 years ago, you know. Do you think that there are creatures like a Loch Ness and Loch Ness Monster? You know, they already found a creature like that in the ice that thawed out up by the North Pole, you know, and it has the long neck, it has the big body. So they identified what that is, you know. And in the United States of America back in the day, there was woolly mammoth, all that other stuff going on. There was giant sloths, you know. This was all basically at the end of that ice age, you know. So who's to say that there wasn't one or two or three of these creatures left? Plenty of food, lots of water to swim in, you know, especially if you get into the Great Lakes, you know. But I mean, even the Finger Lakes, you've got, you know, dozens of miles of lake, and there's giant sturgeon in the lake and other types of you know, sea, you know, lake creatures or whatever. But the big story with Seneca Lake was they were doing this, you know, they had the paddle boat. They used to go from the south end of the lake to the north end of the lake. They still do, you know, the dinner cruise and that type of thing. Actually, really cool to take it if you want. People in one of these cruises had started seeing this creature that was kind of pacing the boat. They saw its head coming out of the water. You know, they ran the boat into it. The captain, of course, you know, instead of study things and, you know, just kill everything, right? The captain ran the boat into it, and then they hit it. And they think they killed it. They didn't see it again, but the creature was even bigger than the boat. This was a huge paddle boat. So, and then other times, people had taken pictures of Watkins Glen down there in the water, you know, around the bay area, whatever you want to call it, you know, of the same type of creature sticking its head out of the water. And they've seen it up north too. So this is the same description of others, you know. So let's talk about the Brasno dragon, which is a lake monster in Russia, right? So the Brasno dragon, also known as the Brasnia, is a lake monster, which is a Russian folklore, is said to inhabit Lake Brosno near the Andriapol in Western Russia. It is described as resembling a dragon, and it is the subject of a number of regional legends, some which are said to date back to the 13th century. You're going to see that similarity with these stories, right? Of, yeah, these are all lake monsters. They all sound the same. They all very basically look the same, you know, and the stories all come from the same thing, you know, especially, you know, if they can live. If they're, nothing's hunting them, they have all the food they want, and they can live for God knows how long, you know, why not? I mean, it makes sense, right? So how about the Cadborosaurus, right? The Pacific coast, kind of North America's Pacific coast, maybe a little southern Canada, right? Is nicknamed Caddy by journalist Archie Wills, is a sea serpent in the folklore regions of the Pacific coast of North America, named, derived from the Cadborough Bay in Greater Victoria, British Columbia, and the Greek root word of saurus, meaning lizard or reptile. And also Champ. So Champ is the one from Lake Champlain, you know. And people have talked about Champ, Lake Champlain, 125 miles long, big body of water, lots of islands, you know. And basically, it extends all the way up to Quebec. That's how they say it. Quebec. I say Quebec. The legend of the monster is considered to draw a large amount of tourism to the area. People love to talk about that stuff. People love to hear about their stories. There are fishermen that have seen it and all that. But I mean, everything has its time. And, you know, now these days, you don't hear all the stories anymore. You know, you don't hear about, hey, I saw this pop out of the water and whatever. And, you know, there's a time for everything. You know, nothing gold can stay. But it taught, you know, it's basically about having a thriving community. Yeah, if you're going to kill them and destroy them, you know, run your boats into them or whatever. Or if these creatures were living in colder conditions, more Arctic conditions, you know, they're used to that type of thing, that things heat up, that could happen for them too, you know. So anyways, what about the water hound? You ever hear that one now? The the Dabachu or King Otter is a creature of Irish folklore, resembles both a dog and an otter, though it sometimes is described as a half dog, half fish. It lives in the water and it has fur with protected properties. So, I mean, if you look at seals have fur, and there are other sea creatures like that, you know. So is that far-fetched? Is that too far off, you know, the spectrum of believable, right? As for pterodactyls, you know, there was pterodactyls. So there's really no reason to say that there isn't, you know, something that can fly. They're not all that big. You know, I mean, a lot of them are, there's actually pictures, multiple pictures from back in the day, soldiers and this and that, whatever, that had killed them. And they're holding them up. And you're going to see there was a photocopy. Whoever's photocopying them is pretty genius. But these are also accounts. These are accounts in local newspapers and all of that. So how about the Ego Pago? Not like Iggy Pop. The Ego Pago is a lake monster, which is in Ontario, Canada, right? And it is a mythical creature said to dwell in Lake Simcoe, Ontario. The creature's name is based on the Ago Pago of Lake Akwaga. British guy, whatever. And there's also a title of a 1952 book, I Go Pogo. I like that better. A slogan after mentioned, let's see, whatever, about the monster that came out and grabbed people. A lot of people talk about that too, these things grabbing people, but you don't really hear about too much of that. And you got the Issy, Japanese lake monster said to lurk in Lake Akita in Kyushu Island. It is described as being a saurian in appearance. The naming convention is basically basically the Japanese name for Nessie. So Issy Nessie, that type of thing. And Japan, with all their nuclear leaks, you know, I'm expecting much larger and much more aggressive type of Godzilla type of thing, man. They've got another lake monster, the Kushiel is another lake monster said to be living up in Lake Kushara. The name comes from same thing, Loch Ness. They all look the same. They're all identical. The drawings are the same. They all look the same. How about the Loveland Frog? Go in Ohio for folklore. You got the Loveland Frog, is a legendary humanoid frog described as standing about 4 feet tall, allegedly spotted in Loveland, Ohio in 1972. The Loveland Frog legend gained renewed attention when a Loveland police officer reported to a colleague that he had seen one. That sounds... So, I mean, I like it when the cops are on the stick and they're like, you know, I saw this thing, I don't know what it is, blah, blah, blah. Usually they shoot everything. Tase that frog, get a hold of it, man. Let's see. So the police officer reported to a colleague he had seen an animal consistent with the descriptions of the frogman. Yes, I've seen that animal consistent with the descriptions of the frogman, 4 feet tall, ugly. I'm definitely sure. I'm sure it wasn't Danny DeVito. It was definitely a frogman. He said, ribbit, very clearly. Made a deferred action, though, with his fin, so I had to shoot his brains out. After a reported sighting in 2016, recently, just round the block, the second officer called a news station to report he had shot and killed the same creature some weeks after the 1972 incident. And I identified it as a large iguana. It was a large that was missing its tail. Oh my God, how'd that call go? Shots fired. Yes, this is officer number six. Officer Bolwetsky. I just killed something. It's killed a large iguana in Ohio with no tail. Yep. Okay, officer. I mean, how many did you have tonight? That's, people don't believe you. They think that you're drunk or getting to their Coke supply. Whatever they got, you know what I mean? Start seeing giant frogs. So, but it wasn't just the one time. It was multiple times that they had seen this frog man, right? A large iguana. All right. University of Cincinnati folklore professor Edgar Slotkin compared the Loveland frog to Paul Bunyan. Although Paul Bunyan doesn't look like an iguana. Saying that the stories have been passed down for several decades and that the sighting reports come in predictable sightings. I don't know. Is that just people sitting around saying, let's make up a story of a frog? Maybe. Maybe. Or maybe the sucker's out there. You know, how do you know? It could be. You don't know until you know. You want to, the people who dismiss things, I think, are afraid. They're afraid to know. You know what I mean? But here we go. Here's a copy of the Loveland police report. March 3rd, 1972, 1 a.m., Loveland police officer Ray Shockley was driving on Riverside Drive near the Totes Boot Factory. Totes Boot and the Little Miami River when an unidentified animal scurried across the highway in front of his vehicle. The animal was fully illuminated in his vehicle's headlights. He described it as 3 to 4 feet long, about 50 to 75 pounds, with leathery skin. You sure it wasn't Danny DeVito? I think that was Danny DeVito. I think he was maybe in Ohio, probably getting drunk at a frat house. I don't know. He's a pretty sporting guy. He reported spotting the animal crouched down like a frog before it momentarily stood erect to climb over the guardrail and back down towards the river. 2 weeks after the incident, a second Loveland police officer, Mark Matthews, reported seeing an unidentified animal crouched along the road in the same vicinity as Shockley's sighting. Matthews shot the animal, recovered the body, and put it in his trunk to show Officer Shockley. According to Matthews, it was a large iguana, about three and a half feet long. Feet. That's a big iguana, man. And he didn't immediately recognize it because it was missing its tail. Matthews probably shot it off. He speculated that the iguana had been someone's pet that got loose. So that's why he shot the shit out of it, basically. And Shockley was shown that the dead iguana, confirmed it was the animal he'd seen 2 weeks previous. But they weren't quite sure if it was an iguana. And they said it looked more like a frogman. So whatever. They killed the frogman. And they changed to iguana. Oh, my God. It turned into a night of chilling tale and horror. I love stuff like that. You know, you don't get a chance to be afraid from silly things anymore when you get older. You know, if you are, then something is a problem, you know. But there are real things when you get older, like government that scares the hell out of you, you know, or humans, the most dangerous animals on the planet. We're talking about all these what ifs and wannabes. Humans are the most dangerous animals on the planet. So what about the Mamlambo? It's a deity in South Africa in Zulu mythology. The goddess of the rivers described as large snake-like creature. Anyway, they're all the same. Manapogo, Mokoliki, Mokomuku. There's a whole bunch, you know. And they all have the same type of makeup, you know, same type of thing. So who's to say that it's not those creatures? You know, they're aquatic. They got the big long neck. They got the big body. Looks identical to Loch Ness. But there are people that they shut the door on it for whatever reason. Oh man, they found them whole in the ice. You know what I mean? And not that far from where they see these other ones. You know, so I think that you can place them at the scene, maybe, right? So what about land? You always hear the people saying Jersey Devil or something in their backyard. They saw something in the woods coming after them. So you got, what about the Almas? And they say he's a folk creature, basically deity, said to inhabit, the Pamir Mountains of Central Asia. And I've heard about these things. They're basically their version of a Bigfoot. And some of them only have one eyeball, apparently. They howl and they do all kinds of stuff. And people tend to stay in their villages at night because of that. So, let's see. This is 1964. Scholar P.R. Rinson said the origin of the old name is quite unknown, and it does not lend itself to translation into other languages. So it's old. Old, right? The name is connected to a variety of places in southwest Mongolia, including the Almas Sindobo. If you're going to find some kind of Bigfootish type of Yeti type of thing, that's one place to find it, right in the middle of nowhere, where they can go and do their business. No one's around bothering them, right? I envy that, man. You know what I mean? So, anyway. So, this is a description. So, basically, yeah, it's a man beast, you know? They're told that it has a face flat, like that of a human being, and that it often walked on two legs, its body covered with thick black fur, and its feet armed with enormous claws that could strengthen. That its strength was terrible, and that not only were hunters afraid of attacking it, but that the inhabitants removed their habitations from those parts of the country where it visited. So it's changing. It's not just a story. It's something that is prompting people to not want to be around there, or hunters with weapons going out to hunt, and they're afraid of this thing, right? Although fear is the mind killer, you know, you can scare the hell out of people. Fear Fear is a funny thing. Fear stops people from doing things, and much of the time, the fear is unfounded. You know, no reason for it, but yet they have it, and you know, like then things can shift and shape past that. So, but they also call this the Chuchana. Chuchana, I like that. That's my new radio name. This is Chuchana. This is Chuchana with you. On WXOXOX. Wild man, they called him, and also Yeti. So here's your Yeti. Here's your wild man. You know, we call them rednecks here in the US, but here they are, right here for you, right? And all these different countries. So that's Asia. What do we got? The Middle East. You got the Baramanu, humanoid, primate, cryptid. Same, same, same. You got the, what is this? The Beasts of Bodmin Moor. This is a phantom wildcat purported to live in Cornwall, Southwest Britain. And the sightings after 1978, with occasional reports of mutilated, slain livestock and alleged panther, leopard-like black cats in the same region. You know, you think that cats can't live in places like that? Of course they can, especially England. That's a perfect place for them to live. You know, really, technically speaking, aside from any kind of global climate activity, England doesn't get all too hot or too cold, not usually. And then it's got a lot of forests. You know, the dark forest. You know, all that. You watch Harry Potter. You know, they got that rolling hills and these lakes. And who the hell knows what's up in there? English people don't want to go in there. Your average English person doesn't want to go there. They'll go there if there's a pub. If you tell them there's this haunted forest called the Black Forest, where you know people go in there and they die, terrible thing, hang themselves on trees, and they find heads everywhere. But this great pub, they're like, oh, let's go. It's a great pub. Let's go. You know, and then everything else gets put. If you know that the pub business. But same thing about, all right, so you get the Beast of X, but you got, that was the big cat. But Bigfoot, all throughout the United States and Canada. But the one constant, if you can't really totally dismiss Bigfoot, Big Feet, because too many people talk about them. Then if you start putting the stories together about these giants, you know, not far from where I am is Spanish Hill in Waverly, New York, borderline Sayre, Pennsylvania. When they were putting the road in way back when, they found all these really tall skeletons, you know, 11 feet tall, 14 feet tall, and that all buried on a mound overlooking the Susquehanna River, apparently, right? So they found the bones. They called the chief archaeologist for Pennsylvania at that time, who was in Pittsburgh, to show up to verify the bones. He did. They did. He took all the bones. He shipped them off to the University of Philadelphia, where they disappeared. And no one ever talked about it ever again. So if you talk to the historian down there in Waverly, which I did, she at first she kind of, oh, laughs and blows it off. It was a hoax. But then I'm like, you know, this is the late 1800s. You've got these men who are digging. They're not the hoaxing types. To say you're getting bones and stringing them all together, the bones weren't even animal bones, and then they went that far to have the chief archaeologist stop the work, by the way. They stopped all the work. So then these guys are out of work. They're sitting around. They're waiting for the archaeologist to show and do all that. You're going to say, oh, that's a hoax. And then document the bones, ship the bones to the University of Philadelphia, where they disappeared, and all that's a hoax. Come on, man. That's a pretty deep, far, wide hoax. So, and those creatures, if you look at upstate New York and northern Pennsylvania, and you start going back, and if you go back thousands of years, you know, there's a lot of undocumented history, You know, this is even before Native Americans were in the areas at times. If you go back, 20, 30, 40,000 years, even that, you're talking, I mean, you're going way back. A lot of people can't think that far. Let's say Jesus was walking around a little more than 2,000 years ago, supposedly, right? Just 2,000 years ago. You know, Egyptians around 5,000 years ago. With their civilization, you know what I mean? So if you start talking about, let's say 12,000 years ago, you had the Paleo Indians out there, you had out like Utah, also the Fremont were pretty much the first, and on the East Coast, you also had Native Americans. So go back 40,000, 50,000 years, you don't know. So whatever they were, they found them. Oh, by the way, they had horns. The males, they believed, were the ones with the horns protruding from their heads. So big 14-foot-long skeletons with horns. And yeah, it's a hoax, right? Whatever. You know, the people digging weren't that technologically savvy to even hoax something like that. These were laborers who were digging, so I'm not buying it. But people have seen Bigfoot in the area, even recently in the Finger Lakes. Finger Lakes is pretty populated. You know, you're gonna have you still have your forests and whatever. Northern Pennsylvania, you have a lot more dense land, dense forests, and if some creature wants to come out at night and be socially distant and do that thing, I live that life myself. So nobody ever sees me. Sometimes I see people in the store during the day, like, "Hey, where have you been for all these years?" Hiding in my bunker, hiding from the world. Anyway, so do you believe it? Do you believe in Bigfoot? Do you believe in all these stories? Every continent has a Bigfoot story, and they all kind of happen. They have their tales, right? So how about the Bukit Timah Monkey Man? Monkey Man. How about the Monkey Man? Let's talk about the Monkey Man for a minute. All right. The Bukit Timah Monkey Man, commonly abbreviated as BTM or BTMM, is a legendary creature said to inhabit Singapore, chiefly in the forested Bukit Timah region. The creature is also cited as a forest-dwelling hominid or primate, and is also accounted for being immortal. However, its exact identity remains unknown and its existence disputed, right? So you have an immortal monkey man. Immortal monkey man. Alleged sightings of the animal are rare. Records mainly come from Malay folklore, accounts from Japanese soldiers in World War II, and occasional unconfirmed reports from local residents. World War II, those guys had to comb through all those tropical islands and do all that stuff and into the woods and all these other places, man. You're gonna run into some stuff, Stuff because people had no reason to go in there before, right? Because the stories of the monkey man. So like, I'm not going in there. That's where the monkey man lives. They're going in there. Going there with a banana, trying to catch that big bunch of bananas, one of those cages. That'd be me. I want to capture stuff, man. I want evidence. If I do a paranormal investigation, I have ghost pictures. I have EVPs. I have pictures you can't dispute. I have EVPs you can't dispute, and I can prove the evidence. Also, a lot of these people are here scratching the wall and they don't know what's going on. That ain't me. So I need evidence. For me to go forward, I need evidence. I am the evidence king. I don't want to hear anything else. I love psychics. I love mediums. I take them with me all the time. Hey, man, they even give you different directions to go in, but I want to see them. I want to see that shadow figure. I want to see that apparition. I want them to manifest. Hey, if you're going to manifest, you may as well do it now while people are there to talk to you, because most of the time, people aren't there to talk to you. Most of these spirits, they gonna just float along, do their thing, because people aren't there to talk to them directly. Now they have an opportunity, So that's me. Anyway, I need the evidence. So if you're going to show me something, show me something. Oh, yeah, Bigfoot. No. I want to see you were hunting and you nailed that sucker. Nailed him. You don't have to kill him. Just shoot him in the ass, you know. Get him in the thigh. Bigfoot ain't going anywhere. You know what I mean? So, I mean, like, does that sound terrible? You know, it's not, because it's scientific research, for God's sakes. And it would dispel a lot of stuff. And yeah, maybe it's missing links or whatever the hell it is, or maybe some kind of species of ape. Well, yeah, a lot of people think so, you know. lots of people think so. So, but the fact of the matter is, we don't know. I was raised on Long Island, where all kinds of stories were coming out of the governmental facilities on Fisher's Island, Gardner's Island, and also all these other places where they did these experiments, you know, biological warfare, whatever. We all knew that. People talked about that for years and years and years, you know. And then, oh, yeah, maybe something escaped. They found something washed up on the beach. And, you know, you've seen pictures, maybe. You can look it up. Look up the Montauk Monster and all this other stuff. You'll see these pictures. People will say, oh, it's probably a dog and it died in the water and, you know, washed all of its fur off and that type of thing. Maybe, I don't know. You have to determine even if that could happen, you know. But whatever. I'm just saying that there's weird stuff out there. Weird stuff out there, you know that? Not just on the Lower East Side of New York City. I'm talking about out there. So what about the Elwich? Am I saying it right? Elwich Rich. God damn it. The Elwich Rich, or plural, Elwich Triche, or Elwich Twitchin. You know it's Germans. You know that's German. Is a bird-like legendary creature which is reportedly found in southwest Germany. There you go. Especially in the Palatinate. The Elwertwitch can be seen as a local equivalent to mythical creatures of other regions. But it looks like a big rooster, right? Giant German cock monster running around pecking people. I want to hear the story behind this. There's too many of these to have fun with, man. I gotta boost my show to 2 hours long because things are getting there. Let's see. I want to hear about people's appearance, origin, and descendants. The Elwertwitch is a fictional creature that supposedly inhabits Germany. It is described as being a chicken-like creature with antlers. Chicken with antlers. You see that every day, don't you? It also has scales instead of feathers. However, it is said that their wings are of little use. That is why they live mainly in the underbrush and under vines. Sometimes the Elwertwitchen are depicted with antlers of a stag, and their beaks often appear to be very long. In the second half of the 20th century, artists increasingly portrayed it the female by adding breasts. Ooh, you know, Elwood twitching, got the big boobies. You know, that's, so then you start getting into it. Weird stuff. So Elwood twitching supposedly originate from crossbreeding chickens, ducks, and geese. None of them have boobs. Chicken breasts, yeah. With mythical wood creatures like goblins and elves. Oh, there's your boobs right there. Even, being a fowl, they naturally lay eggs, which is a result of descending the forest spirits grow during breeding season. That's Germany, too, with the woods, you know? Yeah, there could be some Elwertwitchen with big boobs out in the woods. You don't know. You just don't know. You know? What about this, the fuck monster? It's known as the Boggy Creek Monster and the Swamp Stalker. Is reported to be an ape-like creature similar to descriptions of Bigfoot that was allegedly sighted in rural towns around Arkansas. So, yeah, you got that. You got the Honey Island Swamp Monster. where is that? Louisiana. The Honey Island Swamp Monsters. Probably Joe Montaldo out there in the woods looking for mushrooms, man. Whatever. Some Louisiana. Louisiana cooking, man. Let's see. Also known as the Cajun Sasquatch. No. What? Cajun Sasquatch. You think there's much of a difference between the New York Sasquatch and the Cajun? Duh. Leave me alone. Bah. That French-Canadian. French-Canadian gets down there to Louisiana. Got that Creole Sasquatch. That's funny, man. Honey Island. It sounds so nice, doesn't it? It probably isn't. It's probably a fucking nightmare. I don't know. Lizard man of scape or swamp. I know some subway workers, man, that swore. They swore unto me at 7-Eleven, 3 o'clock in the morning, where I heard all my cool stories from people, that they saw a lizard man in Brooklyn, New York City. These guys would like dig out the subways or dig out the sewers, like they ran that kind of equipment. So they had to block stuff off and drain things and whatever. My friend's dad was running a backhoe. He drained Prospect Park in Brooklyn. And as you know, to do work, and as they were draining it, the lake there in Prospect Park, all these heads started bobbing out of the water. Because I guess the mafia was pretty busy putting cement shoes on people and dumping them in that lake. Dude said he had nightmares forever. Imagine you're sitting there watching. First, you got to wrap your mind around it. What am I seeing? You ever go through that before? You ever have to wrap your mind around something like, what am I seeing? And your brain is trying to put it together with all the other knowledge has collected over the years, and it just can't quite do it. And you realize you're seeing 40-something heads, over 40 heads floating in the water, a skeleton type of thing, or heads and different types, probably different types of degeneration of head. Yeah, so that's New York City. When people think that stuff only happens in these areas, you know, in the woods, the cities are the best place for these creatures to live, these cryptids, because they can get around easy, lots of food, and nobody would even look at them twice. People don't judge them. Yeah? Probably your average person walking on the street is scarier than any Bigfoot that's down there. How about the Michigan Dog Man? Oof. Michigan folklore, the Michigan Dog Man was allegedly witnessed in 1887 in Wexford County, Michigan. The creature is described as being 7 foot tall, blue-eyed, close enough to see its eyeballs, amber or amber-eyed, either or, one or the other, bipedal canine-like animal with a torso of a man and a fearsome howl that sounds like a human scream. So that's Michigan right there. Yeah. What about the giant earthworm of South America? Have you heard about that? The Minicaco is a creature from Brazilian folklore. Now, if you tell me Brazil, all you got to do is say South America or Australia, and I'm going to automatically believe that there's something gigantic that could kill you. That's their normal. You know what I mean? You know, in the Amazon River, they've got these little creatures in the water. If you're male, female too, but mainly this affects the men. You're not allowed to pee off the side of the boat. They actually give you a screen to use because these little buggers will swim up the stream and inject themselves in the penis, and they have these spikes that go out, and that's how they plant their eggs and whatever in the guy's penis. And the only way to get it out is to pop, cut that sucker right off. Just to let you know, don't pee off the side of a boat and on the Amazon. Just to let you know. And peeing in the water is like a human right. You know what I mean? Like, I couldn't wait to go to the beach to get in that water. You know what I mean? You see a lot of people getting in there, and they kind of pause for a minute or so. And they got that face. I don't know. I'm just figured I'd share that with you also. Yes. How about the Orang Mawas is also another type of about 10 foot tall, covered in black fur, been reported feeding on fish and raiding orchards. And many sightings. This is in Florida. You know what I mean? Well, that was Malaysia. Florida is a skunk ape. Skunk ape in Florida, another one. And they call swamp ape or Florida Bigfoot is an ape-like creature said to inhabit the forests and swamps. I don't know about any more with all those snakes, man. You know what I mean? It must be hard footing. How about in China? You got the Yeren, which is a cryptid ape man reported to inhabit remote mountainous regions of China, and forests and all that. They got lots of forests there. The name comes from Hairy Man. Hairy Man. So, and they've been talking about that, how long? Since 340 BC. They've been talking about that in villages and whatever. Of course, the Yeti, Himalayas in Asia. I just made a new word, Himalaya. I like that better. I'm going to use that from now on. Himalaya. The Yeti is an ape-like creature purported to inhabit the Himalayan mountain range. All that, you know. And of course, the Yowie. The Maui Wowie Yowie, Australian folklore entity that is reputed to live in the outback, Aboriginal oral history that has its roots. They tell their stories, you know, like Native Americans, of course. In parts of Queensland, they are known as the Kwikan and as the Jagabina in parts of the New World. You know what? My Crocodile Dundee starts kicking in, man. So real quick, gonna end the show in a few minutes, but how about the Jersey Devil? Now, this is something I've heard about all my life, and I know people that have witnessed they're out in the woods getting effed up, and they encountered the Jersey Devil. And then they ran there, right? In southern New Jersey and Philadelphia folklore in the United States, the Jersey Devil is a legendary creature said to inhabit the forest of the Pine Barrens in the South Jersey. In South Jersey, the creature is often described as a flying bipped with hooves, but there are many variations. You know, it's crazy. They have this picture, and I actually used it on the banner for the show tonight of the guy's hunting camera, and you got these deer, and here comes this thing. Looks just like a Jersey Devil. It's got the wings, it's got the hooves, it's got the crazy looking head just coming into the picture on the right. That's pretty cool. How about the Mothman? The Mothman. And Wes, I met this guy in a supermarket, used to work doing stock at night, and he would tell me all about the Mothman. You know, if you're sitting there blazed out of your mind, that's the kind of place where you want to hear it. I just came in here to look at shiny stuff to play with your aluminum foil. And you're telling me a whole cool story about the Mothman. In West Virginia folklore, the Mothman is a humanoid creature reportedly seen in the to the Point Pleasant area, November 15th, 1966, and to December 15th, 1967. The first newspaper report was published by the Point Pleasant Register, dated November 16th. So people see it, and they still see it. This Mothman. How about the Owl Man? How about that? In Cornish folklore, the Owl Man, sometimes referred to as the Cornish Owl Man, or the Owl Man, or a Mawan, is an owl-like creature said to have been seen in 1976 in the village of Manwan, Maonan, Cornwall. The Owl Man is sometimes compared to the Mothman. See, they got their own English version. How about the Thunderbird? North America. Thunderbird is a legendary creature in certain North American indigenous peoples' history and culture. Can we not call them Native Americans anymore? I mean, is there another? I can't keep up with these terms. Oh, this is an indigenous peoples. North American indigenous peoples. It is considered a supernatural being of power and strength. Yeah, the Thunderbird. You don't mess with the Thunderbird. So that's just a few, you know what I mean? But they've got these cryptid types that come out of the swamps and they walk all weird. Man, I did a whole show about that. you know, a month ago, 2 months ago, whatever the hell it was. So interesting things. I like the stories. I want to see the evidence, man. I want to see the evidence. So you go out there and I want to capture that Jersey Devil. You know what I mean? Just go get like a hoagie or a sub, whatever they eat in New Jersey. A hamburger, some kind of cheeseburger, double, triple cheeseburger, right? With some fries. If you're the Jersey Devil, what are you going to eat? You're going to go to Wendy's, of course, because you're the devil. And you're going to get a triple cheeseburger with French fries, big, extra large, and one of those Frosties, man, a chocolate Frosty, right? And you leave it there with a big cage kind of thing, you know? And when it goes under there to eat it, you pull a stick and you got it, man. You got the Jersey Devil. I want to see it. I want to see the Sasquatch. I knew this girl. We started talking about to each other anyway on Facebook because of that champ, you know, and I told her about the sea monster, well, the lake monster in Seneca and whatever, right? So then she's telling me about the Bigfoot, and she sends me this video. You know, that like the first video, you know, that French camera crew that was walking on his path, and there was the Bigfoot, and they saw it, and they zoomed in on it. So I started picking apart what was wrong with all of that, and they just happened to be there and just happened to have the camera on them in the middle of nowhere for no reason. A French camera crew, they weren't looking for Bigfoot. They had no reason to be there, and they actually had a lens that can zoom in, which was unheard of way back then, you know. So I just thought it was weird. Man, she got so mad at me, she blocked me. She blocked me right away. So it was like, how dare you? Blah, blah, blah. So you can't challenge people on stuff. But I like knowledge and I like evidence. And I don't want to hear your story. I'll start with the story. That's the appetizer, you know. But I want the steak for dinner. I want that Bigfoot steak. You know what I mean? I don't want to mess around. You know, give me some Loch Ness wings as appetizers, but I want that Bigfoot steak, man. So, Jersey Devil for dessert. I will see you guys next week on this here show, y'all, on United Public Radio Network, UPRNTalkRadio.com. Oh, yeah. Bye. Adios. See ya.